The correct answer is A, and that should be circled in your answer book. Say hello to the client and continue walking. Did you come up with something different? Well, here's my thinking on this one, and it involves a judgment call. C, act as if you do not see the client, could be a correct answer if the therapist and client have previously discussed what to do if this situation should arise. However, this previous agreement was not indicated in the question. A, say hello to the client and continue walking, is a better answer because it could apply whether or not such previous discussion has been held. B, say hello and ask how Mildred feels about this accidental meeting. And D, carefully observe the client's social functioning in this community setting. Both of these answers blur the boundaries of a professionally distant relationship, and both of these answers involve the possibility of revealing to others the nature of the therapist and client's relationship. However, answer A, to say hello to the client and continue walking, does not do so, because even total strangers might exchange a simple friendly greeting in the mall if their paths cross or they make eye contact. Module 2 deals with the Tarzoff decision, and I'm sure you've heard about this one. Let's review. Now, from our preceding module, one's first inclination might be to argue that we should never override the privacy right of our clients. But the following module will show you, as you well know, that sometimes you must. In situations that involve criminal activity or the well-being of the client or others, a conflict of obligations occur. Does the action override your client's right to confidentiality for the purpose of guarding well-being? Now, here's the history behind the Tarzoff decision. In 1974, the California Supreme Court established the principle that requires physicians and psychotherapists to warn intended victims of dangerous patients. This is known as the Tarzoff decision. It brought to widespread attention the legal principle known as duty to warn. Key provisions of the duty to warn were elaborated in a 1976 court decision containing the following statement. When a therapist determines, or pursuant to the standard of his profession, should determine that his patient presents a serious danger of violence to another, he incurs an obligation to use reasonable care to protect the intended victim against such danger. The discharge of this duty may require the therapist to take one or more of various steps, depending on the nature of the case. Thus, it may call for him to warn the intended victim of the danger, to notify the police, or to take whatever other steps are reasonably necessary under the circumstances. Now, the Tarzoff decision is not a specific law. However, it is a legal principle based on an interpretation of laws and precedents. Therefore, the duty to warn is an evolving principle. Note that the Tarzoff decision ruled that the therapist should have warned the intended victim or the police. It's important to note here that subsequent decisions, however, have required notification of both the intended victim and the police. Also note that the Tarzoff decision involved a threat to commit murder. It's not clear how much violence short of murder requires a duty to warn. In summary, in carrying out a duty to warn, consider these six principles. Number one, carefully assess the severity of the threat and the likelihood of it being carried out. Two, consider using any available means for reducing the violence of the threat. 3. If a client explicitly threatens to murder an identifiable victim, there is a clear duty to warn the victim and the police. If the client implies a threat of violence other than murder, the therapist should weigh the violence versus A, violating confidentiality, and B, the risk of unduly frightening the warned individual. 4. Release no more information than is needed for the intended victim's protection. 5. Document your risk assessment and action taken. Document judgment about the balance between risk and benefits involved. 6. Obtain the client's cooperation or consent in warning the third party, if at all possible. Ready for question number 3? You may reveal confidential information in order to prevent a significant threat of danger, but only if A. client consents, B. care is taken to determine the information's validity, C. the client was instructed earlier about the limits of confidentiality, or D. the client has a serious and persistent mental illness.